Vegas, the Vintage News Studio, sitting here with Michael Goudeau. Still talking about Adam Carolla yesterday.
Yeah, he was great, wasn't he?
Really great. Nice he owns too. Free FM, you know, west of the Mason-Dixon.
He does.
That's where they did the
He's on in Reno.
He's on in Reno.
He's on in Reno.
Yeah, we're not on in Reno, are we?
No, we're not.
No, he's huge. He's huge. I went over to his little shindig over
right.
at the Palms.
Sure.
You know? And I was looking. It's useful because, you know, I have the OED, the Oxygen English Dictionary.
Right.
But I was looking for a definition of cluster. I guess they say cluster freak. Can I say that? Looking for mind freak. Looking for a definition.
Cluster freak?
It was amazing. It was at the Ghost Bar.
Right.
And I think that the...
the ghosts were probably messing up.
Yeah.
the drunken ghosts.
The drunken ghosts. I think that they had the idea that more people would show up if they gave away free liquor. Which is not wrong. People do show up.
Soon to be ghosts.
So they were doing stuff. This is one of the things I don't understand, like these morning zoo radio shows and stuff,
right.
which Adam is not, I don't think.
Yeah.
But this was one of those vibe things, is they do so many visual things on the radio. You know, they bring strippers on. And I just don't know. The one thing I've avoided my whole life is talking to strippers. Why put them on the radio? So they're there going, oh, we're going to do shots. Strippers giggling about doing shots is not attractive.
That's not a good radio show.
And they had a guy calling in doing an impersonation of Roy.
Right.
You know, Roy. And the thing is that I know Roy,
right?
So when they said Roy was calling in, I really thought it was Roy. So they...
Oh, boy.
I didn't
know. They saw you coming.
They sure did, but what makes that much, much funnier is, you know that one of my specialties is hypocrisy and backpedaling. You know, I'm a bad person in a lot of ways, and this is one of them. Oh, 866-313-FREE. There'll be other subjects besides me being a bad person, because we all agree on that. 866-313-FREE, 3733. PennRadio@gmail.com. And the big subjects today are going to be eat an animal for PETA, and maybe Mexican PSAs.
Okay.
Probably not as strong as Hitler and abortion, but juggling in Mexican PSAs today. We'll get to life on Saturn.
We have a lot of juggling stuff today. A
lot of juggling. So, woohoo!
Yeah, you know,
call your friends. Call your friends. Hey, come on. Hey, listen, everybody, come over here. Gather around the office. They're going to be talking about juggling on Free FM. Juggling.
Yeah, and you thought strippers taking shots was bad radio. We're going to talk juggling.
I just absolutely did that perfectly, didn't
yes,
I?
Yes, you did.
I just did a whole thing on all the visual stuff and then segued directly to talking about juggling. So they asked me if I knew Roy Horn, right? So then I do I'm not on long. You know,
right.
They wouldn't let me on long because they've got strippers to show on the radio. They wouldn't let me on, and they had his traffic woman there who's, all dolled up and
sure.
I don't know. And they got a guy there. He's got a live audience. You know, when he was sitting here, Adam Carolla was sitting here, really nice, down to earth, smart guy, did not seem like a psychotic Ahab megalomaniac. They had an audience there, right? Which they had totally faced audience, which will applaud at anything,
Sure.
They would applaud for Danny Gans if he walked in. Totally faced audience, totally faced, and they're packing him into the Ghost Bar, and they have microphones on the audience. And then he has got a sycophant there, I believe had a name tag, it said sycophant, who has a button to hit applause when Adam Carolla says something cool.
So there's so many things that are missing in our radio show.
It's like going out of Woodstock. You know, Hendrix is playing at Woodstock, and, he plays a little bit, and then they hit the applause button that goes up. So this is what kind of, that's the kind of scum that Adam is. Adam maybe need a little more, reinforcement. But what made me so scummy was he asked me about Roy Horn, Siegfried and Roy, and I start doing all this shtick about getting his head torn off by a tiger, and I'm laughing about him almost dying and having a grand old time. And then Adam Carolla, and I'm hoping I concealed this on his show, because in front of his listeners, I don't trust them. So I don't want them to know what scum I am. But in front of you people, I feel comfortable. I feel like I can bare my soul. There's a certain amount of free FM. I give of my heart. I tell you the things that are wrong about me. And confession is good for the soul. And not
the only
necessarily
person listening
good for
to the show is me anyway.
Exactly. So we're safe.
It's just like lunch.
And so I do all this stuff about Roy getting his head torn off by a tiger. Mm-hmm. I have a little bit of shtickla that I've done a bit about that, because when someone else has a horrible misfortune, I'm right there with the shtickla.
A lot of jokes, yeah.
Do a few jokes, not a lot of jokes. And then he says...
You got a lot of jokes, you only did a few of them.
Then he says, we got Roy Horn on the phone.
Uh-oh.
Now, he is segueing into a joke, because he's got some guy doing a bad Austrian accent. Roy is not from Austria. He's from, like, the Appalachians of Germany, you know. He talks more like Ma Kettle than he does like Schwarzenegger. But that's not important. He's got the wrong... But I don't know that.
Right.
When he says Roy Horn...
So there's a moment.
There's a moment.
Uh-oh.
And I have just enough time... just enough time to backpedal. You know, just enough time. Roy, what an idiot. Head turned off by a tiger. Stupid jerk. We have him on the phone. You know, I've always liked Roy.
We've been very close for years.
And I do a little thing. I do this, like, heartfelt thing right before this bad impressionist. I mean, this guy, worse than Danny Gans. I think it was, like, the house DJ or something is doing this thing, and I'm there. So for those of you who listen closely, and the advantage to doing one of those zoo shows where everybody is faced and out of their minds, is that you can make a huge faux pas like that. You know, if I'd have done that in front of someone who was, you know, really listening, if anybody had been listening to me, they would have busted me so hard it was unbelievable. But as it was, no one said, like, were you just backpedaling about Roy Horn? Man, and you know, so.
I hope Roy calls into our show.
Yeah, but if Roy calls into our show, it'll be the real Roy.
Yeah,
you know, it'll actually be Roy. We won't get
Hello,
head was torn off by a tiger. I don't know.
800 people are already on the phone pretending to be Roy Dyer. I don't know what you're talking about. 866-313-FREE. Call in if you want to pretend to be Roy.
Yeah, let's take anybody who wants to pretend to be Roy. We'll interview anybody who'll do a bad German accent and pretend to be Roy Horn. You know, you want to say Wiedersehen at the end,
yes.
And you want to do that. Actually, this is the perfect job for Robbie Libben. Robbie Libben speaks German. He listens to our show. He could call in speak nothing but German, which would be even better. But maybe we'll get someone calling in. That's the only call we're taking right now, is calling in. And you can talk about any subject you want. Talk about Hitler. Do you hear what I just said?
Calm down.
I'm sorry. If someone called in pretending to be Roy Horn talking about Hitler, have the perfect radio moment.
This is going to turn ugly.
I want to get to this because it's so much less interesting.
Get to what?
I want to get to this because it's not that interesting, but I really Jason worked so hard on this.
We talked
a few weeks ago. It's fabulous. We talked a few weeks ago about this Chris Bliss.
Right.
And I was going to trash Chris Bliss, like, a lot.
Right.
And then I found out that Chris Bliss is part of this with his own money. He's like putting Bill of Rights statues next to Ten Commandments. Statue, I guess, is not the right word. Statue means representation of a person. But sculptures or blocks.
Plaques.
Or plaques! Fine word! Plaque is a fine word. He's putting...
Ten Commandment plaques... Bill of Rights, next to the Ten Commandments.
So maybe he's an okay guy, you know, I don't know. But he does this awful three-ball juggling routine.
Right-handed. Clearly
right-handed. To Golden Slumbers.
Jugglers. He's too right-handed.
He's way too right-handed. I wonder if he's right or left-handed. That's the way jugglers show disrespect to one another. Like jazz musicians saying, like what you were wearing. Is that a new shirt? I talked to Jason Garfield, and Jason Garfield's the kind of guy that if you say to him, bet you won't eat a bug, he eats a bug. So I said to him, you know, I bet you can't do that three-ball routine that you think is so awful that Chris Bliss does to Golden Slumbers. I bet you can't do it with five balls.
Right.
Now, five balls is a lot harder than three balls.
Sure.
Give you an idea how much harder it is. Juggling five balls is like juggling five balls compared to three balls like juggling three balls.
It takes an hour to learn three balls well.
An hour.
It takes a year to learn five.
If you're working all the time.
Yeah.
But to get five balls tight with tricks and stuff takes a lot longer. See, we're promised you're really great radio. Go to, right now, I mean, really, if you're at a computer, and send this link to everybody in the world. JasonGarfield.com.
That's one word. Really slowly.
JasonGarfield.com/ PennRadio, P-E-N-N-R-A-D-I-O, .html. Really, go there. JasonGarfield.com/PennRadio.html. I mean, go there. He does all of the Beatles routine, Chris Bliss routine. And you can find the Chris Bliss routine by looking up, like, Chris Bliss finale Golden Slumbers or something. Yeah, of course, they can't show it anymore because
the Beatles have the rights to the Beatles song.
He doesn't have the rights to the Beatles song. He's been closing his act with
that
for 40 years.
It's still up on YouTube, but apparently they caught him.
They've caught him.
The big advantage of everyone sending this around, everyone saying, isn't this great, is that Paul McCartney eventually got it.
Yeah.
Hey, wait a sec. That's not so great. Hold on.
But this is Jason Garfield, Penrith. And he ends with, because, you know, Chris Bliss ends with three balls, Jason ends with 10 balls, which is almost eight more than three.
It's almost eight more than three.
It's an amazing video, and it also shows the kind of friends we have. Absolute psychotic, focused whack jobs who will do anything. JasonGarfield.com, PennRadio, HTML. And he also wrote up what it was like to learn Chris Bliss's routine to this music. And a friend of mine, you know, Eddie Gorodetsky,
yes,
who I believe, like, about the funniest man in the world. Eddie Gorodetsky wrote to me and said, after he saw the Chris Bliss thing, that it proved what he always said about fireworks, which is people always think they're in time with the music, and they never are. He said the idea of synchronizing fireworks is amazing, and my major problem with fireworks is I think they should just set them all off at once.
Mm-hmm.
I don't see any reason for doing it, you know, bit by bit. You know, they play a little bit of "Coming to America." I don't need that. Take every piece of firework that you have, explode it at once. Blow it up. That's the whole
so
thing.
So you're not one of the new firework guys. You don't like those concentric
the computer
circles.
Computer stuff? Doing that whole thing? And setting it
you
off?
You fired off the giant Venn diagram in the sky? the actual representations? I think
no.
They're beautiful. I like
no.
that.
Blow up big stuff.
Oh, yeah,
that's
like that
what I mean.
Too.
Fireworks are a real masculine, lowest common denominator thing. It's stuff blowing up. Make
yeah.
the stuff blow up, make it big.
Okay.
Coming up, March 15th. Is that right?
Yes, it is.
Eat an animal for PETA Day. And this is not just, you know, a few nuts. This is probably dozens of nuts.
This is dozens of nuts.
Dozens of nuts. Eat an animal for PETA Day. A bunch of people who are against PETA are getting together at barbecue joints, is it?
Yeah.
Barbecue
here
joints.
In Vegas, it's Memphis Barbecue.
Which one? There's a couple of
I'll get that for you in a minute.
And they're going to go and, I guess, eat an animal for PETA Day. You know, we have, you know, after the show for Penn and Teller, we have people come out and, like, will talk to us and take pictures and so on. And we have security guards. And it's great. I think I'm the only person who has a security guard that when someone has a cross around their neck, the security guards move closer to me.
Nice.
Because, you know, I've been hit.
They wouldn't let Chris Angel anywhere near you.
I have been punched by a couple of Christians.
Sure.
Now and again. It's one of my hobbies.
Sure.
Do they have security guards here?
Moral high ground and all.
Moral high ground and all, sure. But really funny is when a person was walking by with a huge T-shirt that said PETA, P-E-T-A on it.
Right.
And the guy to my right, the security guard with the walkie-talkie, I hear him going on the walkie-talkie, let's get some more security over here. We have a PETA guy. And the guy moves a little closer, and the security guard actually says, wait a minute, it's a joke. It says, people for the eating of tasty animals. Stand down. Stand down.
I have the list of
that makes it okay. That makes it okay. Go, fine. Go. All you got to really remember is JasonGarfield.com.
Sure.
Because he'll have some sort of link to that video after that. He's an amazing juggler. Did you finally find the
PETA? I do have the PETA stuff, yeah.
Good. Land
on the Outback Steakhouse in Brookfield, Wisconsin.
Are we on in Brooklyn?
I don't think we are. There's one in Sweden.
Good. We're definitely on in Sweden.
In Houston. Are we on in Houston?
Yeah.
They're having it at the Ragin' Cajun.
Uh-huh.
Las Vegas, it's at the Memphis Barbecue at 1401 South Rainbow.
Oh, it's the Rainbow one.
Yeah.
Yeah, South Rainbow.
You could probably do a search for that.
And what time are they meeting? What date's the 15th?
In Los Angeles, it's kosher site to be determined by participation. You can eat kosher animals. Mesa, Arizona, Big City Barbecue, Nashville, Tennessee, Jack's Barbecue. A lot of barbecues. Rockville, Maryland, they're doing it the Royal Dragon.
Now, what day is it? March 15th?
March 15th.
March 15th, and it's what
here
time?
Here in Vegas at 6:30 p.m., Memphis Championship Barbecue on South Rainbow.
What day of the week is that?
That's a Wednesday, I believe.
I might go by. 6:30, can you make it?
I can't make it. I have a show, but you can make it.
I'll be able to make it.
That'd be
good to have a little bit of celebration. I always wanted
Memphis,
you know,
barbecue is always good.
Always good. No, PETA, animal rights people, throw fake blood on real fur.
Right.
When they see real fur, they throw red paint. So maybe the anti-PETA people should start whenever they see fake fur.
Barbecue
real
sauce.
Barbecue sauce.
Sorry, I thought that's where you're going.
No, it's good. I was going with real blood. You're going with
real
barbecue
blood.
Sauce.
Well, you know,
and therein lies the
always practical. Always
boy,
practical.
Boy, is David Bowie angry today.
Is he?
Oh, yeah. Because, you know, they may
he
have
hasn't been calling. I have no idea.
They may have found life on the moon of Saturn.
Yeah.
They have geysers. You know,
right.
And I remember when they might have found life on Mars when the asteroid came in.
Sure.
Asteroid? No. Meteorite.
Meteorite.
Meteor.
Hit the ground. Meteorite.
Meteorite. When that came in and it had something that could have been possibly DNA.
Crystalline structures possibly.
And all the places had all the newspaper had, is there life on Mars? They all used from, I think it's David Bowie's Hunky Dory, is there life on Mars? Right. And David Bowie, I read an article on this, got a check. Because he wrote, is there life on Mars? He made more money because of that meteorite. Like a lot more money. They gave the amount, and the amount they gave on TV, I don't want to misquote this, was a lot.
Wow.
A lot of money he made because of that. And now there might be life on Saturn, Saturn's moon, and David Bowie has no, is there life on Saturn's moon? None of that. So there you go. There's these Mexicans. Have people called in as Roy? I don't want to take any calls unless they're calling in as Roy.
We do have one caller as Roy. Yes,
oh, good.
We do.
I'd like to take talk to Roy. I just want
to
say before, just in case, I want
to
go to this call, but just in case I want to say, I've always really respected Roy. He's a really good guy. Just in case it really is. Go ahead.
This is not really Roy.
It might be.
Line 8, please.
Hello, is this Roy Horn?
Hello, this is Roy Horn. How are you doing?
You sound so good after the accident.
I'm calling from the American Society for Adolf Hitler. And I'm wondering if I could subscribe to your listeners to perhaps get a donation of some kind.
For this for Hitler?
Since I had my face ripped off. By a tiger.
You now want to get money for Hitler?
Yeah, we're trying to raise money. We want to change how people view him in the world, you know. He gets a bad rap. I mean, he was not such a bad guy, just a little syphilis, one testicle, you know, not so bad.
What other good things do you have to say about Hitler?
Oh, there are things that we keep secret.
Okay. You were prepared for that one. What do you think of Montecore, the tiger that tore your head off?
Yeah, what do you think should be done with the tiger?
Yeah, how you feel about the tiger, Roy?
I'm not that happy, to be honest. Penny, he has been a little weird. I think he wants to finish the job.
Maybe we can get him to the Memphis barbecue.
Thanks a lot, Roy. That's Roy Horn of Siegfried and Roy.
I can't believe Roy actually called me after all.
Thank you, Penn. See you soon.
Thank you so much. Thank you.
Thank you, Roy.
Thank you.
Boy, people do anything, won't they?
Yeah.
That's great.
I really enjoyed that. This is Penn Jillette. We're going to be talking we'll talk about more about PETA. We'll take calls on anything. It's Friday. I don't care. I've said everything I want to say. Call in Free FM 866-313. Free. That's 3733. You're with Mike Goodell. PennRadio@gmail.com. JasonGarfield.com. Penn Jillette and Michael Goodell talking about, as our producer Happy Jack says, too many things. Done about too many things. Now, my
we're
idea
jugglers.
Would be if you
talking
had...
Talking about five things at once is that's, just perfectly normal for us.
That's not what he means. But he doesn't mean we're talking about too many things. He means we're talking about too many things that people don't care about.
Okay.
Like juggling. But the juggling thing is great. we'll give you something you care about. An example of what is known as the Lazarus effect.
That's nice.
Lazarus effect.
Good job.
This rat squirrel, which is something you call people when you're angry. You rat squirrel.
Isn't that the one from Ice Age?
Yeah.
My kids laugh so hard at that guy.
Rat squirrel, believed to have become extinct 11 million years ago, has turned up in central Laos. It's the rat. The rock rat was never actually extinct, experts explain, just lying low after testifying against the coelacanth.
Coelacanth, yeah.
Now, this is the important thing. Once you've had the Lazarus effect happen, you have to embrace, get ready for the inevitable lame brain effect, in which critics of evolution jump up and down yelling, explain that! Go ahead, Mr. Smarty Pants evolution expert! You can't, can you? We win! We win! any one thing that evolution doesn't explain, then they, in the margins, claim they have that.
And when you find that, they go, oh, that wasn't important.
we don't care about that.
Where's the squirrel been hiding? Right here. Oh.
There's absolutely no proof, there's no evidence of evolution in modern humans. Then they find that DNA stuff.
Sure.
They just found over the past 5,000 years, there has been evolution in humans. And they creationists go, yeah, well, rock rat, the creationists.
Yeah.
Rock rat. So I wonder if there are any creationists that listen to our show.
I don't know.
If you want to call in, 866-313-3733.
If you can impersonate Roy and we're a creationist, 866. Call in.
No, we're not doing the impersonate Roy thing
all
anymore.
Right, all
See,
right.
What I did was yesterday on Adam's show over at the Palms, they had a bad idea for a skit.
Mm-hmm.
And
you've stolen it.
I listened to the bad idea, it didn't do well, and then I stole the idea. In Mexico, did you see this? In Mexico, Fox, the presidente, I guess you can say president, of Mexico, are starting to do all these PSAs with blow-up dolls, you know, sex dolls. Blow-up dolls you know, with the big wide-open mouth and stuff. The blow-up dolls, and they're trying to teach Mexican men to not follow machismo. No macho stuff for them. So they believe that the machismo in Mexican culture...
Your Spanish is beautiful, by the way.
Is it?
It's lovely. Right?
Thank you. The macho stuff.
Uh-huh. Sure.
They believe that all the wife-beating and stuff like that, that they're worried about,
mm-hmm.
Can all be solved by showing how to treat blow-up dolls on TV. Right? Have I got any of this wrong?
The ad featured dolls dressed as secretaries and maids who have to put up
now,
with leering
and groping.
Now,
a lot of those dolls come dressed as secretaries and maids. I mean, it's not like they had to add that to there. That's part of the wardrobe you get. It's cheerleaders, secretary,
and maids.
That's
probably why they chose them.
If you're going to have a blow-up doll for the fantasy to start, I've heard many people dress them up first.
You and I had six once, remember?
Well, we had the idea of we were gonna juggle blow-up dolls. Remember,
yeah.
We tried.
Yeah,
it was hard.
It was hard.
We had to wait.
Pretty good.
Yeah.
It went pretty well for a while.
It was good. What happened to those blow-up dolls? You took them home.
I don't have any of the blow-up dolls. I did not take the blow-up. I left them here. And they've all vanished.
No, you didn't.
Yes, I did.
I am totally against PSAs of any kind.
Come back to your mini. All of them.
You're
against PSAs.
I'm against PSAs. And
why is that?
No one ever talks about this. But why should the government be making television and radio stations play things that tell people how to act? Where is it in the Constitution that the government is supposed to give you advice? Like, I see these billboards up, which I think are not government. Those may be the individual billboard companies donating that, which is fine with me. But I'm sure there are tax incentives and so on, which I'm against, that say, like, you know, stop gang violence. And, you know, does anybody drive along and say?
Right.
And the other one that really bothers me is that whole, all the anti-drug campaign. Why does the government have anti-drug campaigns? I mean, maybe it's a fine thing to do heroin. You know, I happen to be very anti-drug for myself, but maybe, I mean, some of my friends who did acid really liked it. You know, maybe smoking dope is a fun thing. What's wrong with that? Why do you have to have the government saying, talk to your kids about drugs? My mom and dad never said a word to me about drugs. Why on earth would the government be telling my mom and dad how to raise their kids? And why would Mexico be dressing up? Okay, that one's kind of sexy. But I mean, besides that, why would they be telling Mexican men how to treat women? You know,
they didn't know.
And we got 866-313-FREE. 866-313-FREE 3733. Does anybody think the PSAs are a good idea? I mean, the anti-smoking ones, the don't beat your kids ones, the, you know, no violence in the family ones, the no littering ones, any of those. Are any of those the job of the government to have, to tell people what to do? I don't think so. I think it's defense, courts and police and nothing else. There shouldn't be a propaganda wing of the United States government. To me, telling people not to litter is propaganda. You got any calls you want to take? Or are they all just people talking like Roy?
Well, there's a creationist who wants to talk to you about evolution, if you like. If you want to do that.
That would be great. Sure. Get off the juggling subject.
Line 10, let's talk to Tad.
Well, hey, Tad, what are you doing, boss?
Hello, this is not Teddy Roy. I love tigers. I want to make love to tigers.
Thank you so much. Thank you. Thank you.
He totally fooled all the call screeners.
All the call screeners. Oh, man, I have created a monster. I've created a horrible, horrible monster. You know, did you read this about actor Daniel Craig, you know, the guy who's being cast as the new James Bond?
Right, that's a good part.
These quotes are the greatest actor quotes in the world. Oh, they're just great, though. His quotes are, I've been trying to give 110% from the beginning, and maybe after that, I was trying to give 115%. He said that. And then they asked him if he had any hope of making people forget the other six Bonds. Craig said, you do the math, because obviously I can't. You know, actors talking ever, I believe that the stupider you are, the better an actor you are. I don't believe that intelligence is any help to being an actor. Because if you have a brain in your head, then you don't show everything on your face. Or you have so many thoughts going through your head that you wouldn't be good for telling a story. But a really stupid person, you tell them, you're mad in this scene. Read these lines like you're mad. And it comes across really clearly. I think it's really important to be very, very stupid if you're an actor. And I have asked some of the greatest directors of our time to name a good actor that is not stupid. And the answers I've gotten are Tommy Lee Jones,
right,
who is not particularly stupid, and also James Woods, who's not particularly stupid, but so crazy that it cancels it out. But I think all our other great actors are really, really stupid. And the proof of this is the number of actors you can hear say, and I've heard friends of mine say this to my face, Christopher Walken says this on a on the Actor's Studio thing. Right. Is that the Actor's Studio thing? He says this sentence, and I've heard it before. I have heard actors say, I cannot imagine being anything but an actor. They say that sentence. I cannot imagine being anything but an actor. If you cannot imagine being anything but an actor, you can't be an actor. You're going to be a lousy... Okay, it's World War II and you're a soldier. Oh, I'm a soldier who's also an actor? No, you're a soldier. You're going to be running... But I can't imagine being anything but an actor. Am I an actor? No. It's Vietnam and you're in a medic team and you're running in trying to save and I'm an actor? No. You're on a medic team. So we have to save Private Ryan, and I'm an actor trying to do that? No. You're driving a taxi in New York. I'm an actor driving a taxi. It does not. And you hear that all the time. You hear people saying, I cannot imagine being anything but an actor. Yeah, I'm not going to go. He's holding up a sign that says, in the world in which we live in. That's what he's doing. Happy Jack is holding up. Did I just do it? I just did it. I did what? I said in the world in which we live in? I said it?
You did.
I did when?
Just a second ago. We have it on tape. You want to play it back? I'll bet we can play it Monday. We'll play it back for you. Then we'll have people call in and correct your grammar. You know, Harrison Ford said one of the smartest things I ever heard an actor say. He said, if I'm going to be an actor and poor, I'd rather be an actor and poor in California than New York because it's cold in New York. Which, you know what? If you're going to be poor, move to L.A.
You know what you think?
Nice weather. Sure. Yeah. That's what I think.
Well, I think that's one of the reasons.
The smartest thing I've heard an actor say.
I lived in San Francisco for years, and I didn't like San Francisco that much. Yeah. And I think the reason was that it was so comfortable to live. I think that people get so accustomed to being comfortable that it somehow makes a kind of hippie-ish hedonistic culture. I think that's what I think.
I'm trying to figure out where that's bad. not the hippie hedonist thing, but the comfort.
Yeah, I don't know.
You think we're not working hard enough?
I guess so. I guess that's that New England puritanical thing slips. Did I really say in this world in which we live in?
I think you did.
I did not say in this world in which we live in. I got to talk to the guys because they're dying in the other room. I got to talk to them and find out what I said. I'll take time to do that. If you want to call up, tell me why we should have PSAs, or tell me a smart actor. Name any smart actor. 866-313-FREE, F-R-E-E, 3733, penradio@gmail.com. Talking to this ever-changing world in which we live in. Hey, this is Ben. Pendulette here. I guess we're talking about PSAs and smart actors and anything else you want. It's Friday, so I'm going to take a lot of calls. And then I was all ready to take a ton of calls, but I screwed it up with the Roy Horn thing. That's why I screwed up everything with that. But anyways, it's Godot's choice. Take a call. Let's go.
You're going to go with a call? Okay.
Sure.
How about we go to line 12? We have Patty calling.
Hey, Patty.
Line 12.
Hey, how are you? You guys are doing a great job, by the way.
Thanks, boss.
And I'm from New York, so I'm very, very picky. But anyway, the topic that I want to bring up is, you know, as everybody already knows, we are under Islamic siege. I would call it kind of like Islamofascism is on the rise. And although a lot of folks will probably disagree with me, I think we're in the midst of World War III. The thing I don't get, though, and I'd love to hear your feedback on it, is I don't get President Bush, you know, sitting here preaching the war on terror and then telling us it's okay for six ports to be managed by several people in the Emirates who basically got their tickets to come here and fly planes into the World Trade Center.
Right. Well, that is the problem. And the problem is that George Bush is walking this very... a very careful line, because George Bush is religious. And so there has to be respect for other religions in his mind. So the Christians and the Jews and the Muslims all have to stick together and stick up for their imaginary friends. So he has to say that it's not Islam that's doing this, but it's the bad people in Islam. And there are good people in Islam and bad people in Islam. And it seems to me the way George Bush decides that is who has the most money. You know?
Who's going to vote?
So I think that what you've got here is, you know, during World War II, we interred Japanese Americans. You know, we blamed everybody who was Japanese for the war.
No, but and would you get Japanese people to guard Pearl Harbor? After
exactly.
Attack
yeah,
it?
I know. That's the point. You
want
to go
that,
somewhere between
duh.
That. I think that, you know, but the nice thing happened is we stopped that. They're not going to do that.
Well, the other thing was, that, yeah, it seemed to me that the same people were going to be running the ports. I mean, yes, the parent company is different, but, you know, the CBS is not down here doing the radio show.
Yeah,
you know, Mr. CBS doesn't come in here every day and go, let's do this radio show now.
Yeah, it's the same monkeys that
run the
whole
same monkeys
thing.
That will run it either way.
Do you have religion? Are you religious?
Am I religious?
Yeah.
Yes, but, you know...
what religion?
I mean, I'm Christian, but I'm not like this, you know... church-going individual. I mean, I
right,
have Christian values. I was bred up an Irish and Italian Catholic. But,
oh,
I mean, I know you're an atheist, and I know you're a very big liberal, and believe it or not, I am in the music business, and
I'm
am around a lot of liberal people, but...
Smile when you say that. I'm not a liberal.
Well...
I'm libertarian.
I'm a libertarian, too. Cool.
Okay. I'm as far left as I can go on sex and as far right as I can go on money. That's far left on sex, far right. That's the way you get to utopia. You take a sharp left on sex, you're first right on money, and it's dead ahead.
But here's the thing. One more point. I mean, you don't see Christians flying, you know, planes into buildings and blowing themselves up, do you?
Not currently.
I mean, what's up with that?
Not currently, but there has been a lot of martyrdom in the Christian faith.
Yeah,
and
like
there have been a lot of deaths.
When you had the Crusades, when the Muslims were attacking the Christians, then you're talking about?
Well, there's then too, but there's also been a lot of, a lot of the Christians that slaughtered the Native Americans in the U.S. was done in the name of Christianity. A lot of that proselytizing around the world has had some teeth behind it.
Right. Let me just make this really important point to you. If we can't define our enemy, then we are screwed. Bottom line, I am not prejudiced against anybody, but when somebody comes to invade my country and attack my people, I am going to guard it as vigorously as they're going to guard their country and their
religion. Would you make that the enemy that you're going to define? Would you make people in Al-Qaeda or the Taliban, or would you make that anyone who believes in Islam? I mean, where are you going to draw that line?
We're talking about fanatical Islam right now. We're not talking about the good folks in
okay,
the Islamic
religion,
right?
I think that George W. Bush, because I often speak for him... I often speak for the president. We have this deal. He speaks for me internationally. I speak for him on the radio. I think George Bush would say that the people that wanted to control the ports, that wanted to have that money in there, were not fanatical Muslims, but rather what you would call
pragmatic
liberal
businessmen.
Yeah. Is, I mean, is there a chance of that?
Wait, you just cut out. I'm sorry.
Oh, I'm sorry. Isn't there a chance that what George Bush meant was exactly that? That the people that he wanted to do business with were not fundamentalists, were not whack jobs, but were rather sensible businessmen? Isn't it possible he meant
well,
that?
Well, I have to say one thing in defense of George Bush. He makes a good point because we're talking about globalization. Mm-hmm. And in order to do business on a global scale, we need to treat everyone fairly.
Exactly.
So I understand
that is
that
the hope
point.
For world peace is business.
Yeah, I understand that point, but I just don't get, you know, how we can give something so sensitive away. We're not saying that the United Arab Emirates, which is a wonderful ally to this country, and we should appreciate mm-hmm. that. I mean, look at it. You know, China has part of the ports on the West Coast.
Uh-huh.
So, you know, we have to look at this in an intelligent manner.
And also, isn't it a worse PR thing for them to blow up ports if those are owned by the part of the Muslim world?
Right. But we're not talking about the United Arab Emirates. We're talking about the people. You have to understand that these guys are brothers. You know, like we're dudes here in this country. They're brothers over there. Okay.
Yeah.
So when you have one brother talking to another brother, and he comes into the U.S. and he's working on this side of the fence, it's very easy for him to infiltrate the ports and to slip in a dirty bomb or a weapon of mass destruction.
Yeah, the problem
maybe
is
some of them,
though,
you know, that they found in, you know, that they found in Iraq, that they slipped to Syria or something like that. Mm-hmm. They might find their way here to our country.
Well, thanks a lot. Thanks a lot for calling.
Thank you for listening.
I'm going to move on. I think we let her say what she wanted to say.
I think
right?
so.
I mean, my position is so much more crazy than hers. You got another call you want to take?
Sure. Let's go to line 14. This is Brett calling.
Hey, Brett. What's up?
Ben?
Yeah.
Franklin raped me.
Is that it? Okay, let's take another call. How about that?
Let's take this Gmail.
Okay.
Because we have the guy here. Jerry wrote in to say that he believes PSAs are called for in the preamble of the Constitution.
Okay, read it out.
I think that's a very... you want the entire preamble? Or,
no, we know the part.
You know,
first part.
Okay, well, the part that he highlights as supporting PSA is promote the general welfare and secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity. Right there in the middle of the preamble, he says that calls for PSAs.
Well, yeah. I guess you could
promote
interpret it that way.
The general welfare.
So once again, promote the general welfare. Yes, I guess you can't say that there's nothing like that in the Constitution.
Damn you, Jerry.
So bothered. Yeah, Jerry, I mean, you could see it that way. It's not the way I see it, but you could see it that way. I just do not like the government having any sort of influence on what we should do in things that aren't illegal. What do you got?
I have a call. Caller on line 13. Let's talk to Eric.
Sure. How you doing?
Sure. There
Hello?
You go.
How you doing, man?
Hey, what's up? Penn, first of all, I want to say that I watched almost every one of your Showtime shows, and
one
that's specifically about the Bible, where you kept saying the damn Bible. Literally, I was in stitches every time you said it. Like, you
Thanks
could
so
not
much.
Say the word Bible without saying damn in front of it. I thought that was great.
Well, you know, we had some interesting conversations with Showtime about that. They said when they saw the script that they thought that every time I said Bible, I said goddamn in front of it. And they pointed that out to us, and they acted like it was accidental, which is the really funny part. You've made a little glitch in your script. You have it there every time. And I believe, and I tried to be rather careful about this, I do believe that every single time I say Bible, I say goddamn before it.
Yes, you do. I checked.
Thanks so much, man.
Wait, and I try and call all the time, actually, because I'm from the Freedom from Religion section of my town.
Oh, really?
And, yeah, we get together once every Friday and, you know, just discuss basically the ways that we're being screwed in the media and, you know, things of that nature.
I just wanted
to say that it is so amazing to hear an atheist voice on the radio. You got brothers out there. One day things will change.
Well, things are already changing really,
Thank
really
you, man.
Fast.
Thank you very much.
But what town are you in, man?
East Islip, Long Island.
Oh, sure, sure. And are you making a dent there? You got some good people working with you?
I'm sorry, what'd you say?
Do you have some good people working with you? Are you making a dent out there?
I do. There's a group of about 20 of us, and what we like to do is we do things for the community under the banner of atheism. We like to show people that just because we don't believe in your silly giant guy with sandals, that we still do believe in doing right to our fellow man.
So what kind of stuff do you do, man?
Well, we're involved in, like, a pancake breakfast. We do, like, sort of a rec room type thing for the kids in the area. We just do a lot of things that the Christians do, but for what we consider to be the right reason.
Oh, thank you. You know, I believe I'm such a nut about pancake breakfasts, you know. Yeah. I was raised Congregationalist, which is the Church of the Covered Dish Supper. And what the people really worship in the Congregationalist Church is the Covered Dish Supper, you know.
Right.
And I remember my mom, when she was struggling to, you know, be an atheist, one of the things that she was going to miss the most about leaving the church was wearing her hat and going and hanging out with friends and all the stuff that they did. So the money that my mom and dad pledged to the church when they left the church, my sister left the church, my sister put together the money that they had pledged and gathered it all together. My sister, who is so kind and so wonderful, used that money to buy, I think it was bulletproof vests for the police officers in Greenfield, Massachusetts, and also they gave some money for the jaws of life that are used in traffic accidents. Uh-huh. I just think that the greatest thing in the world is when atheists have bake sales. And up in Greenfield, we had like Sugar Eats, which was sugar on snow,
right,
and baked bean dinners, you know, and all that great stuff. I love it when there's atheist groups that get together and play music and talk about how they love humanity and love what's going on.
So, exactly.
Man, you were like my favorite person.
Penn, can I say one more thing, man?
You can say anything you want. You can take over the show.
I just saw a bumper sticker the other day that I had to pull the lady over for because it was just too cool. Jesus helps me trick people. Yeah, I thought you'd like that, brother. Thanks a lot, man, and I'm going to be listening forever. Take care.
Thank you so much, man. We can take another call. I mean,
okay.
I'm not going to, I mean, that guy I just love. So you can pick one that's going to bum me. Seriously.
Pick one that's going to bum
me. Because I'm high enough that you can really take me down. Break my heart.
We have only positive callers today.
Okay.
Well, let's go to line 8. Let's talk to Steve on line 8.
Hey, Steve, what's up, man?
Hey, I was calling to respond to your question about PSAs.
Yeah.
I'm not disagreeing. I just wanted to put in a little context for you. You asked where in the Constitution does it say the government should be involved in these things, and it's right there in the preamble. One of the great phrases of the preamble is promote the general welfare.
Yeah, absolutely.
And so, I think people make a mistake a lot of times thinking that because we are people of limited government that means that we are a people of government that's limited only to things that are explicitly outlined in the Constitution, and in fact that's not the case. I mean, we can have a policy debate over whether PSAs are promoting the general welfare and whether they're a good idea, but certainly the government as an extension of the people has a right to define that general welfare and promote it, and I think anyone involved in that would tell you that's what they're doing.
Perfectly said. And because there happens to be a little delay on the broadcast, we also had a guy that wrote in a Gmail and also covered that. But Godot just read a little bit of it, and you were much more eloquent. Not than Godot, but you said it beautifully. So thanks a lot for calling in, man.
No problem.
Thank you. Yeah, that's the thing. I mean, the promote general welfare is that part of the preamble that always screws libertarians. You know? I happen to be such a nut for really small government that I don't see why the government paying to tell you to talk to your kids about drugs is a good thing. Or it just seems creepy to me. The government is so bad at everything for them to be telling people how to raise their kids.
Yeah, they teach us how to build levees. They seem so well qualified for that sort of thing.
Yeah. Good calls today.
That's
good
great.
Calls.
Yeah.
Good people, man.
Very nice.
I just love the when he says pancake breakfast, you got me so on board because I think that's the one piece of high ground that the religious have had over the atheists,
and
that is pancake breakfast. Once the atheists start doing pancake breakfast all the time, when they have big bean dinners, when they start having stuff for the kids, the other side has a good chance. Talk to you later. See you Monday. Okay, bye. Thanks a lot.